Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoy this message from The Well.
Every week. Just want to say, Adrian, what a great job you did up there. What's all this about they don't have to turn up every week? Well, I didn't understand that bit. And what was that all about, huh? Cool, Kish, I want to see you on that as well. There you go. Anyone who goes to that, who loves doing it, just give a big hallelujah now.
Hallelujah!
Come on, it's fun. Honestly, it's a good time. And yesterday, the joy, is that still on?
No.
Oh, okay. Right, so we're going to continue. Can you hear me? Wait till we get that, the levels right. And well done, guys, for going out, your youth. You have a great time out there. And bless these guys, Lord. And Lord, I pray that given the boldness to go Easter, it's going to be a fantastic time. Guys, so you can pray. We've got a meeting on the 12th down there to decide what we're doing. It's going to be something like the Olympic Games during the day, mixed with a bit of God stuff here and there, so they have loads of fun, but the good stuff is in the middle of it. So, Lord, bless them in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. So, this is a year of destiny. God has spoken that to me, and it was like, wow, what does that mean? We're going to start to discover what that means for each one of us. And so we're going to come out of 1 Corinthians 15:58 that says this. Therefore, my brothers, my beloved brothers, that's us guys, me and you, be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. So it doesn't just call us to work for the Lord, guys. It says abounding. And Paul should know more than anybody about work. He worked hard, abounding in the Lord, knowing that in the Lord, your labour is not in vain. And so, a year of destiny. So, are you ready to discover your destiny in God this year, guys?
Yes.
Are you ready to put Jesus first in your life this year? Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
You see, what we're going to look at is who we are, what we do, and then how we do it, how we go about doing it. But you see, in this passage, Paul has just been teaching about how he had overcome death, he had overcome sin in his life. And from there, we're drawn into that life. Each one of us are. And now we're called to live a victorious life. We've been singing about it, we've been praying about it, we've been prophesying about it without even knowing that this is what God's bringing. But this is the life that God wants us to live in this life, a resurrection life. As Jesus rose from the dead, so will we. But that resurrection life is already in each one of us. We've just got to tap into it, be mindful of it if we can. And that, and so this year, as we look into 2022, you know, we come out pretty bedraggled by all the COVID has brought to us. But what we're looking at is a glorious future in 2022, where we really do discover all that God has made us to be, if we abound in the work that God has given us to do. And so it is a year of destiny, where we become all that God made each one of us. And as a church, we start to form what he wants us to be. And everybody has got that calling. Everyone has it. God's called each one of us to fulfill a task that no one else can. That you have a task, that you need to be doing what God has called you to do. That's where our life comes from. And we see that with Paul. That God visited Paul and he said, you're going to be a light to the nations. And Paul lived it out. You know, he knew who he was. He lived it out daily. And then by Acts 26:19, when he got older in his life, he said, I have not been disobedient to the vision that God gave me. No, he did it. He knew in his heart what God had called him to do. And he did everything that God called him to do. And guys, I love every one of you dearly. And I want to see that fulfillment that Paul saw there come true in our life, that we become the fullness of Christ in us. Are you up for that, guys, as we look at this year? It's what God wants for us. And as we look at Jesus, he told a story about all this in Matthew 25:14. The story of a wealthy businessman who had loads of money. And he gave three of his servers, his workers, pots of gold or talents, it says. And a talent is worth over £100,000 today. So this wasn't a little amount of money he was giving to them. Hands up. Anyone would like to have £100,000 given them today? Imagine what that would feel like going out of here with £100,000 in your pocket, huh? Yeah. Wonder what you would do with it, though. Yeah. That's a... yeah, I don't know. Yeah, there we go. But so to one of them, he gave five. So that's £500,000. I mean, this was a rich guy. To the other one, he gave two. And another two, he gave one. He gave them according to their abilities and what they're good at, what they thrive at, what God has made them to do, the gifts that are in them. He gave them according to that. And all of us have got gifts. There are things that all of us, some of us are good at, and there are things that some of us are really not good at. But the heart of it all was that the rich man wanted these guys to do well. He wanted the best for them. And as we look into this year, the key for each one of us is that we do what we're good at. We play to our strengths. We invest our time well. We invest well in our lives. And the first guy did. Yeah, he invested his five talents well. And the Lord said to him, well done, my good and faithful servant. I'm going to double it, and here's 10. And then there was a second one who had less, but he invested it well. And God said to him, well done, my good and faithful servant, into the joy of the Lord. And then the third one, he didn't. Not only didn't he get his doubled like the others, he lost the little that he had because he sat and did nothing. And this verse also speaks to the anointing on us. It's not just money, finances, and the things of this world. It's God's presence on your life. Paul was aware of this. Paul became aware of it in 1 Corinthians 15:10. It said that I work hard, but it wasn't me that did it. He knew that it wasn't him. All the accomplishments that Paul did, the ability to get up when it had kicking after kicking and just go back, his shipwreck, up again, keep going. There was no stopping Paul, but it wasn't in his own strength. He said, no, by the grace, it was by the grace of God. And the grace of God is receiving everything that we don't deserve, the things he wants to do in our lives. God's empowering presence. Paul lived like that, guys. He lived every day knowing that this empowering presence, this God of the universe, was actually at work in him daily. Do you know that? Do you draw upon that? Do you make a draw on the powers of heaven for everything that you do? Paul knew everything he did. I can't do it on my own. I need you, God. I need that joy. I need that wisdom. I need this extra that you give to make this all work. And then nothing becomes impossible. He lived like that. And I keep getting reminded as I'm preaching of a book that I read a little while ago and I will read again. It's about the presence of God by Brother Lawrence. And I recommend it to people. Read it. It's practicing the presence of God. He's in you. He's not just this distant God. You're born again. Christ has come into your heart if you've accepted him, and he's inside. And it's he that wants to go to work, abounding in the work of the Lord, this said. And that's what he wants for us this year. I promise you, you step into this and you're going to come alive. That tiredness that is on so many today will just disappear. It's how it works. Now, you may think that, oh, yeah, it's all right for you, Clive, but I'm not that gifted, you know, little old me and all that. Well, if we look at them verses, Yeah, it was the guy that had five talents, his was doubled, but the one who had much less talent, and so he got two. All he did was invest it. Well, he was doubled as well. He got to hear the well done, my good and faithful servant. And so how do we get to hear that? How do we get to hear God say, well done, my good and faithful servant? Well, it's all about investing what God has given you now. Invest it well. Use it wisely. I've said many times when we bought our house in Basildon, couldn't believe that God gave us it, 3 acres of land. And people used to come up, we used to use it as a youth club. Everything that God wanted to do happened there. Fun days happened up there. With 3 acres of land, you can do a lot. People used to come up and say, Clive, it's so beautiful up there. And it is. That if God gave me this, there's no way that I would let people come up here like you. And I said, well, basically, that's why you haven't got it, and I have. And that's the truth. But it's the same with everything that we've got. If God has given you a musical talent like Lloyd, then we need to be using it. If he's given you a mind that you can sort things out and you're good behind a desk, you need to be doing it. Whatever God has given you, whether it is a house, a car, everything needs to be handed over to the Lord for his use. We use it wisely and we make good decisions. And then God will double what we have. That's it. You can work as hard as you like for money. Yeah, good luck with that one, all right? Bit like, who was talking about money earlier? Can't remember anyway. So you can work as hard as you like for money and you might get a bit. When you work for the Lord and you give your heart over to the Lord, and I'm not teaching the prosperity gospel here, I'm teaching out of experience of what the scripture says. If you do that, seek ye first the kingdom of God, he will add, he will double, he will bless. And I'm going to draw for more from that. You see that in Isaiah 61:7. Where Isaiah saw the day that we're living in. You know, these guys were crying out where they would love to see and hear and feel and experience. They didn't have Christ in their heart like we had today. They wanted to see it. But Isaiah had eyes because the Spirit of God was on him to see what was to come. And he said this in 61:7. Instead of dishonor, you will receive a double portion. First of all, of land, so that's prosperity in this life. God will help you. God will, you're supposed to be the head, not the tail. There are other, yeah, but also everlasting joy. This is going to last forever. The work that you put in today, God will be repaying you for all eternity. It's a double anointing. And that can be as well this anointing, the presence of God. We see that with Elisha, don't we? When Elisha saw all that Elijah was up to, a holy jealousy came on him. There's nothing wrong with holy jealousy. And I do apologise for my teeth. I'm going to Turkey tomorrow to get it sorted, guys. It's driving me nuts. What about you? Yeah, you need to. All right. It should be anyway, Colin. I know he does, actually. So, where was I? Elijah. Thank you. Someone was listening. Who was that? Was that you, Lloyd? Come on. Yeah. So here we see. So worldly jealousy kills you. Holy jealousy, when you see someone else doing something for God and think, oh, I want to aspire to that. And you've got a good heart, that's wonderful. And that's what Elisha did. He saw Elijah, he said, and he cried out. He just asked for it, and God gave it to him. He got it. And we see that whole principle in Job as well. When Job was tested, anyone feel like they've been tested over the last year? Is anyone not? Are these guys over here didn't put your hands up? Yeah, can you tell me Linda, please tell me the secret, yeah? Yeah. So, but when Job had come out of that experience, that testing, he stayed faithful to God and God stayed faithful to him and he ended up with twice as much, double, that principle of double again. He put God first and then God doubled. And so I want all of us in here to receive this doubling, this the anointing, however God wants to bring it. You will know that God has increased you. Yeah, that prayer of the Bible where the guy calls out, increase my borders. There's another one in there that we do God's work, he increases it. And so that's what God wants for us this year. And so what do you do to invest well? Well, church, it's our heart here to help each person that comes through these doors and joins us to follow Jesus daily. Yeah, to follow him, to keep in step with the Holy Spirit. That's what the Bible wants for us. If God is alive, he will walk with us. He will keep give us a step to walk each day. And that's what people we want our people to do. And we want people to find out their identity. They're a son and daughter of God. We are forgiven now. God's righteousness is in us. We have a home in heaven. We are royalty now. And this is what the whole of our life is based on. Nothing comes out of anything other than this. Our identity in God comes first. We must know who we are, not just here, but know in our heart and live out of that. Are you living out of that today, that you're a son and daughter of God? He's with you and for you. That's what we want for our people, that you are a treasured possession. Do you feel that? You're actually, you might have a different understanding of who you are, but you're actually a work of art, a work of God's hands. He knows what he made you to be. He knows what he made you to do, each one. And so be joyful about that. And we want our people to live in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I was part of another church once where they went through the gifts of the Spirit for a couple of weeks a year, and then that's not the way it works. Your gifts God has given, and they're irrevocable. They're in you now. They're placed in you, and the idea is to live out of them, not just like so prophetic word. Oh, come on a Sunday, and I can give a little prophetic word because I've got a prophetic gift. No, it's not like that. You live it out. You live it out every day. An evangelist will live out of that. A pastor will live out of that. We live out of the gifts. They become part of us. So we really do know that we're supernatural children of God. And that's what we want. We want our people to be creative with their life, full of faith and taking risks for God. You know, the risk God talks about, it's got to be impossible. It's got to be ridiculous, crazy, the things that it's almost like trying to plant a church when you've only got a few people coming back out of your congregation. It's like it takes that, but I've heard from God. And you get creative about how it might happen. And this is what we want for our people, risk-taking faith people. And we want people able to fish for men. So that you know how to bring someone to Christ. You know how to witness to your friends and family, that you may get them saved, because you may be the only way they're going to hear the gospel this side of heaven. That you may heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. This is what we're called to do. This is what we want for our people. And that you would know that the presence of God is on you. It's so easy for us to dismiss ourselves, to go out of here and we're just little old me. No, you're not. You're you and Jesus together. He is with you and his spirit surrounds you. Remember that story of Peter with his people came into his shadow and they were healed. It wasn't about the shadow. It was about the aura. It was about what goes on when the presence of God, the glory of God surround you. And wherever you go, you carry that and you transform people's lives. You transform situations. You transform those around you. Why? Just because you've got Christ in you. That's what we want for our people. We want people to get their hearts mended. Each one of us have had broken hearts. That's what this kind of world does to us. It breaks our hearts. I know if we went round the room today, you've all got stories, but we want them broken. That's what Jesus said he would do. That we would build Christ-centered families, that Jesus becomes the center of our families, our focus and all that we do. Everything else comes out of that, guys. and that we would see promotions at work where people are lifted up because people see you're wise, you're so peaceful when there's trouble going on. I want to lift you up. That's the kind of thing. We want to birth godly businesses here. We want our people to care for the poor. And honestly, this is why you see wise rich people not just focusing on yachts and big mansions. No, they spend their time helping the poor because that's what gives life. Money never will. You can accumulate all your life in this life. It's not going to keep you happy. You can try to build the best family you like. Good luck with that one without Jesus. Yeah? The thing that brings life is when you give your life for others. Can I hear an amen to that? If you haven't found that out yet, this is what we want for our people, and we want you to be able to leave a legacy for your grandchildren. And then for the church, God has got hold of us with the wind of the Spirit with all this. We want to grow flourishing churches. It's no longer about the World Church in Islington. There is more. It is about us, but we're birthing. We become a birthing church now. We want to build churches that are centered, they're called gospel families, families that are on a mission together, loving communities just like ours. Here, where people, everyone that comes in said, we really see the love that you have for each other. And we do. And we want to replicate that. That's what we've said to Basildon. We don't want a big launch where people just come in. No, no, no. We're building a loving core of people. And they really do there. Bless you guys that are listening online. They're just like us. And that's what we want, to reproduce that there. And that anyone comes in, it's got to be love all the way. Or go and find somewhere else. Because that's not what we're building. We're building loving communities just like ours. Communities that encounter God, the revival. Does anyone in the house want revival?
Yes.
Come on, more than you, Colin, this time. We do. But the thing is, we want revival every time we come. You look into the history of the revivals of the world. They come, they last a couple of years, and it's gone. We do not want that. We want the sustainable, every time we come in this place, that we're easily combustible for the Lord, that we're on fire for God, and our hearts are burning inside, just like the disciples did that were with Jesus on the Emmaus Road. They were burning with fire, excitement, zeal and buzz, and this is what I'm living for. This is what we want here, communities like that, churches that go about restoring people's lives, families' lives, communities' life, towns and cities, restoring them to what God would want them to be. And so how do you get that, guys? How are you going to get God's well done for you today? Well, two things we've got to look at. First of all, we need to invest in ourselves. Yeah? And secondly, invest in others. So I'm saying, join a group. Join one of the groups in this church. You cannot become mature on your own. It just doesn't work. You need other people there, just letting you know where your failings are, but mostly just encouraging you. Come on, you can do it. You can go for it. The discipleship courses here are going so well because people are positive, upwards, forwards. They're wanting the fire. And when you want the fire deeply in your heart like that, it breaks out like it did yesterday. It was fantastic to see. And it's like, come on, this is what we're all about here. We want more of that. And so do that. Join a disciple course like Haresh did on the Friday night one. Haresh and your family out there, welcome. Good that you're here. And I'll chat to you during the week. But Haresh, he just came up on the screen. And he's an Indian guy. And I said, whereabouts are you, Haresh? And he went, oh, I'm up in the north of India. I went, what now? He went, yeah. And so he just joined our Zoom group. He's online now with his family. And it was just great to chat with him. And it's like, come on. And, we'll see what happens with that. But join it, because that's where we're built up and grow up in Christ. look, this is where we learn to read the Bible. It's not as for head knowledge like so many teachers do. Do forget some of that, guys. We're not against that. But it's about relationship. God wrote the Bible so that we would know what he's like. Not just that. He wasn't satisfied with that. He wanted us to come back into relationship, that he would transform and be with us and that he would live in us. And if we read the Bible like that and understand it and then say, God, what really are you saying to me? It will transform your life and you will find your destiny. That's what it's all about. We are called, guys, and guide to live a life of victory over fear, over death, sickness, poverty, small-mindedness. The list is endless, but it happens. You've got to do something, guys. That's the first thing. You've got to do something. It won't happen if you just read the Bible, walk away with a little, woo, I understand a bit more. It's always a challenge to do, and that's where we receive more of the Spirit. So, secondly, we need to invest in others. This is a vision for the church. This is what we want for everybody. And we see Luke 19, 10, Jesus said, I've come to seek and save the lost. So we need to invite people to Alpha. We kind of knew it wasn't going to happen in February, but we need to put the challenge out because of COVID. People weren't mixing. We moved it on, but we will be doing Alpha. This is where they get to know Christ. Or bring them here, that they will get to know the gospel. But guys, you don't have to save everybody, okay? You don't have to save everybody. What we need to do is look for who is ready. Who do we know that is ready? Who's the person that Jesus is obviously on? You see that they're questioning, they're excited by these, and the people that know everybody, a person of peace. They're the ones to focus on, because when me and Debbie have done it in the past, we help them to know Jesus and then they let everybody that they know. This is multiplication. These are the ones we need to look for. But not just for them, for those that are going through it, that are ready because of the difficulties they're going through, the pain that they're going through, the sickness long term maybe. They're just broken inside and they need help. They're crying out for help. This is what we're there for. Jesus did in Matthew 9:36. When he walked about, Jesus saw people in pain and his heart broke. Did you know that? As he was walking about, his heart broke for that. Then he had compassion on them and saw them as confused and helpless, as sheep without a shepherd. Doesn't that describe people today, as you see them out there, confused and helpless? It broke his heart, and he had compassion, and we need to listen to that. He had compassion on them. And so as we look at the word compassion, what does it mean? What was going on in Jesus' heart when he saw people like that? Well, what he saw, it wasn't sympathy, because sympathy is just feeling sorry. It wasn't just empathy, because empathy is, I can see you're hurting and I'm hurting with you. It wasn't just that. No, it was compassion that feels all that. And then it says, I've got to go the extra mile and I will do anything I can to help you through this, to walk through this with you. I want to stand with you with whatever you're going through. I'm going to be with you through that. And you know what? Jesus was like that then. Jesus lives in you if you've got Christ in your heart, and he wants to do the same through us today, each one of us. So the question is, how? How do you invest your talents well? How do you do that? Well, in 2022, well, who do you know that is suffering today? Maybe it's loneliness, that you could just come alongside someone, be a friend to them, invite them into this family. Or maybe it's someone who's in debt right now, that they need a bit of advice, a bit of wisdom that you can give to them. Yes, you don't need them, you know, extra trainers. You don't need that extra holiday this year. You don't, come on, this. Some people just need basic wisdom to stop them and that, or bring them to a cap a CAP money course. Then we're going to be running this year for people that are just not good with money. Or maybe you know someone who's in stress, again, that you can just come alongside and give them wisdom. Or maybe someone who's in loss, that they've lost maybe their job, or with COVID about maybe even someone they love, that you could just be there with, that you could spend time with. Nobody knows what to say to someone who's just lost a person, a loved one. You don't know. I've been there a few times now, but they will always thank you for being there for them. Who can you come alongside like that? Or someone who's got long-term illness that we can pray for. You know, we see suffering everywhere. There are addictions out there. Bullying goes on. Family breakdown. Mental illness. Abuse. Discrimination. And the list is endless of the ways that what, you know what we're doing out there when we're doing that? We're showing the world who Jesus really is. And that's what God wants us to do this year, to show him. 2 Corinthians 1:4 says, we are to comfort those who are in any affliction. And so remember how it works is remember how Jesus has come alongside us, how he loved you when you were going through tough times, when you were lonely and lost or skint and without money, that God helped you in that way or brought someone to help. And what did it feel like when you were forgiven of all your sin for the first time? Never forget that. What did it feel like when the love of God filled your heart for the first time and you realised that all eternity is yours in heaven and death isn't the end? What did it feel like? Freely you have received, freely give. And so this is how we invest our life well, guys. This is how we walk into our destiny in God. Satan has a million destinies out there for us. We don't want them. We want our destiny in God. We want this doubling of wealth or however God wants to give it in this life or anointing. God, just pour it out on us. And here's the thing, guys. It's never too late. No matter how far you've drifted from God, it's never too late to come back. It's never too late to start again. It's never too late to walk in and receive this doubling today. If we can have Lloyd up, that would be great. And what we're going to do, guys, I'm going to ask you to stand. That would be really cool. And Lord, we bless you. We bless you for all that you are. And what we're going to do is just like Elisha. Elisha saw what was available and Elisha cried out to God, God, will you give me that double portion? Will you give me what I saw Elijah have, but double it up? And that's what we're going to ask for now. And let's just have believing hearts that this is what God wants for us. He gave the bags of money to them guys, not so that they would fail. He doesn't want anyone to perish. The Bible says that. And we wanted them to do well. He wants us to do well this year. I want everyone here and online to do well with what God has given them and watch God go to work. Guys, if you don't know this Jesus yet, it's very simple. We believe he rose from the dead and confess him as the Lord and we will be saved. Romans 10. That's you come up and I've got a little booklet that will help you with that and set you off on that path with him. But right now, I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to come. So just raise your hand, something like in a receiving mode. Spirit of God, come. Spirit of God, come. Lord, we're asking for this doubling of the Spirit as we set off in 2022. Lord, that we would know your presence. We would know your person, Lord. This anointing, Lord, this favor, this blessing, God. We saw it with Abraham. But Lord, he set out on his own and he ended up a well-rich guy, well-powerful guy. Moses, all of them, David, an outcast. He ended up with an army of nearly 2 million, God. Nothing is impossible with you. Empower us, God. Fill our hearts and mind with that presence this morning. And God, we pray you ignite the gifts of the Spirit in us, those talents that we have naturally that will boom into flame, and new ones that are given by you, not so that we get them out of the cupboard whenever we want them, but we live in them. They become part of who we are, the bit we rejoice over, because we know you're with us, God. Do it, Lord. And Lord, give us twice as much as before. Like the guys that invested well, God. Lord, you doubled theirs, double our small groups this year, we pray, God. Double the churches, Lord, that we're involved. You already have, Lord, we're starting to go from 1 to 2 and further down the line, 2 to 4. That's what we're asking for, Lord. Double the amount of people here, not for our sake, but that they can be saved and grown in you. Lord, double the ministries that happen here that go out to the poor like CAP and those working with the street people. Lord, double our finances here that we can do more, and give us that building, Lord, we can work from. It'd be great. And Lord, we've heard you say today, we want you to double the joy that we have, God. Double the anointing, Lord. You did it for Elisha then. Since then, God, you've come, you've lived, you died, you rose, poured out your Spirit, and now you live in us. How much more will you do it now, God, for those who want to abound in doing the work of God in this life? Come on, guys, you build that inheritance for your grandchildren. Build what you're going to go into, the inheritance that we all go into in heaven. Whatever happens, it's going to be amazing up there forever. But Lord, I pray that you would pour it out. Lord, bring us alive in you today. And what I want us to do, if we could gather into 2s and 3s, guys, Lloyd is going to lead us in a bit more worship. If we can gather, and I want us to pray for a doubling of anointing on those. If you're not happy yet with putting hands on, just pray with each other that we would receive. Gone are the days, guys, where it's all about the preacher man or those here standing and praying. We're turning it around, guys. We're going, no, it's about you. And I want you to receive the Spirit. I want you to be able to pray for people. We want you to feel the excitement and buzz of God as his anointing flows through your body into other people's bodies. But this is what prayer is all about, to bring us alive. The breakthroughs we've cried out will come through this. So it's not just a few at the front, it's all the body, equipped for works of service, ready to get out and transform this Islington, Basildon, London, beyond, even India. Look at that today. Come on, Lord. So, guys, if we could pray for each other as Lloyd leads us in worship, that'll be fantastic. Praise you, God. Let's praise our God.